Hi there, it's Phil.
Hello, Phil.
Hello.
Hey.
Tony.
Hey, Phil.
Tammy.
Hey. Hey, guys.
Jenny.
Jenny.
Hey, Phil.
Hey. That sounded like Billy.
It is. It was.
It is.
Hello, Tammy.
Hello.
Okay, I really feel like today or this week is a massive opportunity. Massive opportunity for everybody who's a part of this team. And right now, I'm especially speaking to those people who are not on the call. Now, you guys who are on the call, you'll listen. But I'm particularly speaking to those who are not on the call. And I want anybody to feel free to interrupt me or chime in, anybody who is on the call at any time. I have devoted a good portion of my adult life to study. I've studied fitness. I've studied some degree, the brain. I've studied medicine. I've studied influence because it makes me better equipped to make a difference in this world. And when I say I study success, it's really a hard concept to study because we can't clearly define what that means because it's very internally defined by individuals. But throughout my career, I've met with very successful people and really attempted to find the common threads or to hope something rubs off. You know, how can I learn something from them? And I've learned a great deal. And as I watch this network grow, and as I watch this company grow, something disturbs me. And I've said it before, and what disturbs me is that a good number of the people who become promoters will not do well. Now, I'll tell you that many years ago, I was introduced to another company by a client of mine, and I decided not to become involved, A, because I didn't really believe in the product, but B, I found out that only 12% of the people who became distributors made back the cost of their kit. So that means 88% of the people who invested in a kit, which at the time I think was $350, it's not this company, but 88% of them never made back their initial investment. So now here we are in a very sound and solid company with tremendous opportunity, yet still, many promoters will not succeed. And I'm not comfortable with that. It sucks, and I hate it. And I don't hate it just because I'm a nice guy and I care about everybody. I hate it because I brought you guys in. And I don't like to fail. So if I'm bringing you into something with the intention of us all succeeding together, if I were more calloused, I would go, well, screw it. You know what? Those who are going to work are going to really do well, and those who aren't, they won't. And unfortunately, that's sort of a truth. But the bigger question for me is, can I change the odds? Can I change the numbers? Can I, instead of just leaving it alone and accepting that those who are not going to work will not succeed, can I get those people to work differently? I don't yet know the answer to the question, but I know this. I'm certainly going to try. So when I look at success, I'll tell you this. Success is commensurate not with the effort. Not with the effort. Working hard doesn't make you successful. But I believe in sports, in music, in the arts, in virtually every single field, success is commensurate with the commitment. And when I say the commitment, I mean the commitment to succeed and get better. Every performer has bombed. Every stand-up comic has bombed. You know, and they don't just curl up in the fetal position. They go, how can I do better? How can I do a different song, different jokes? How can I learn? They take lessons. They work to get better. And that's where the commitment lies. They keep coming back, working to get better and better and better. So listen, nobody is born to be a network marketer. But if you are born to be an individual who helps other people and thrive, and Lavelle give you the opportunity to not only help other people but prosper in the process, then isn't it worth the commitment? Now, I believe this. I believe this with every bit of my heart and soul, which is why, honestly, in the middle of the day, 3 days a week, do you think that my preference is to get on a call with you guys? I love you guys, but really, if I just had my ideal map of what I want to do with my life, I wouldn't want to interrupt the middle of my days with a phone call 3 times a week. But why do I do it? Because I'm committed to coach you guys at least 3 times a week. I am absolutely 100% committed to it. I also have said to all of you guys, I commit to be accessible to you anytime you call. And those of you who reach out to me, you know I am. I commit to learn with you, because in this commitment to be better, shit, I don't know. I've only been at this 10 or 11 weeks. I only know what I've seen work. I know what I've seen not work. I know what Jenny tells me. I know what she learns from her upline. But I am fully committed to learn with you guys. I don't pretend to have answers. So if you call me with a question and I don't know the answer to the question, man, we'll figure it out. If you call me and go, I tried this and it didn't work, I'm pretty good at saying, let's try it differently. So I am absolutely committed. There's no part of me that will just lay down and wave the white flag here. And I commit to reach up when I need help. So if you guys are not willing to make those commitments, I'm telling you something, there's a wide gap between my potential for success in this and yours. If you are not willing to commit to even be on the calls, then as hard as I try, at some level, I do have to shrug and go, I don't know what else I could do in this case. Now, some of you are crushing it, and I love that. But nobody was born to be a network marketer. So when I say some of you are crushing it, you had to learn. You know, we all met Jenny when she was already successful in this, so we can assume, oh, she's great at this. But she told us it took her months. She was apprehensive about even becoming a promoter. But it was her commitment over time that allowed her to get better. Whoever has some noise in the background, if you could hit star 6, that would be really good. Whoever's on a speakerphone, maybe. So commitment is really first and foremost. So I'm asking you, when I said this is a time of opportunity, it's really a time for you to take a look and figure this out. Are you committed? Listen, if you had an appointment at 1 o'clock Eastern time today so you couldn't be on the call, and that appointment was with a promoter who's going to become an active promoter who makes you money, great. But if it's anything else, I'm telling you this, you could have had a different commitment. I'm not pretending that the calls are that important, but I'm inviting you to help me make them better. Because my commitment is to be here for all of us. So in looking at success and in trying to understand, you have to ask the question, why are so many people stuck where they are? You know, we all want to lift people up. All you guys do that in your career. You have clients who aren't fit. You want to help them to get fit. And sometimes you have to just scratch your head and go, what's wrong with this person? Why does she keep eating the donuts? I don't get it. How come she doesn't work out when I don't show up? I don't get it. And in that same way, I can look at the people who step into this realm and go, I love Thrive. I love the product. I'm going to help people. And then they decide not to be on the calls, or they just can't do anything today, or they're going to wait until next week, or they have to get more comfortable with the product first, or they have to read the ingredients. All of that is procrastination. It's an absence of commitment. So why are people stuck? I'm going to tell you why people are stuck. Because of their ritualistic behaviors. They do what they do because it's what they do. So if you've never been a successful network marketer before, clearly you have to go through a shift to become that. You can't just keep doing what you've always done. So if another day goes by that you don't get a customer, another day goes by that you don't get a customer, and you speak to somebody who might be a promoter, but they're going to wait 30 days. And if this is the pattern and you're being okay with that, then you're developing this ritualistic behavior of complacency, of just being stuck. So if you truly want this opportunity to work for you, you've got to recognize that. You've got to say, I have to stop doing exactly what I'm doing because that's going to keep getting me what I've always gotten. Somehow I have to change my behaviors. Somehow you have to change your habitual thoughts. If you create a thought, and I've heard some of you guys do this, where you go, well, nobody wants Thrive. Man, that is one of the most ridiculous statements I've ever heard. Millions of people are using it, and somebody here can go, well, nobody wants it. Because in your own universe, a couple of people said no. So you've got to get out of your stuck thoughts. You've got to stop with the ritualistic behaviors, and you've got to change your habitual thoughts. And you've got to shut down negative talk. When it shows up, identify it. When you hear can't and but, just shut them down. This talk could apply to anything, but right now we're talking about the opportunity that you have right here, right now, to make, I've heard it said, a shitload of money. I don't know exactly how much is in a shitload, but it's a lot. But you got to get out of your own way. You've got to stop being stuck in what you do because of what you do. And the big monster that keeps you stuck is fear. And we don't acknowledge it because our ego protects us from it. But fear prevents forward thoughts and prevents forward action. So there's a great word, but I want you guys to understand this word. The word is breakthrough. I used to do a seminar called Breakthroughs, and then Tony Robbins named his seminar Breakthrough. I'm not pretending he copied me. Then I changed the name. I didn't call it that anymore. But breakthrough is a really significant word if we're looking for growth. Because a breakthrough isn't a gradual climb. A breakthrough isn't like keeping your nose to the grindstone and getting a little better and a little better and a little better. You do that, but that's not the breakthrough. That may be the process. But the breakthrough is a sudden, dramatic, and important discovery or development. It's a moment where everything changes. So why did I call my seminar Breakthrough? Because I was teaching people to eat to lose weight at a time that everybody was dieting. And I was teaching them to back off on their volume of exercise when everybody was increasing. So if they could discover this, they would have a breakthrough. Well, if you've earned $30,000, $60,000, $80,000, $120,000, and you feel like you deserve four, five, six, seven times that, the breakthrough is in front of you if you're just willing to do what it takes to get it. So honestly, it comes down to commitment. That's it. Commit to do what it takes to get better at this. Commit to support every one of your promoters until they say, leave me alone. That doesn't mean pester them. If they say, leave me alone, clearly they're feeling pestered. But until that moment, support them and help them commit. A, it helps you, and B, it helps them, and C, it helps every single person that they get Thrive into the hands of. So enrolling a promoter is good, but getting them to hit their VIP is great. And if you haven't done that as a rule, then this has to become a new behavior. This has to become your habitual behavior, that you coach your promoters to hit the VIP. Anybody who's still striving for 4K, anybody who hasn't hit 4K yet, and if you're brand new, this is not a condemnation, but anyone who hasn't hit 4K yet, in all likelihood, doesn't have promoters working for them. When you commit to help your promoters, they work to help you. And 12K is not that far from 4K when you have promoters. So I said at the beginning, I'm speaking to the people who aren't on the call, and I know everybody who's hearing this is, but I have a good excuse. I was doing. I know. I'm not talking about just today. I'm really not. I'm not talking about just today. I'm just saying if you're doing really well and making as much money as you want and you see your growth, then you don't need to be on the calls. But if you're not and you're not on the calls, then that to me says something about an absence of commitment. Now, if your feeling is the calls really suck, I don't get anything out of it, it's a waste of time, then here's what I'm inviting you to do. Make the calls better. Bring your promoters to the call. Listen, I have no desire to hear myself talk. I've texted you guys and said, do you have anything you want to share on the call? Most of the time I go, what do you guys want to share in terms of experience? If I said zero on this call and it was productive, I'd be really happy. So if you don't think the call is valuable, bring value. Because everyone here has the ability to make this better. Any thoughts, comments, questions about anything I said at all?
Yo, Phil, it's Jim.
Hey, Jim.
Hey, man. So I've got a couple comments, I think, and it's just more kind of like maybe insights I've had. I'm blown away by my clients that trust me for a long period of time and then don't want to try this. Like, I'm blown away by that. People are skeptical. Like, I'm a skeptic, but I'm willing to try things based on what other people have experienced and whatnot. So I want to try it myself. But some people are so fearful or so – like, I had a couple clients like, well, that's dangerous, and where are the studies and all this, like, bullshit that, like – I'm just blown away by that. So that's positive.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I think a breakthrough would happen for me, absolutely, if I got a promoter or two that was excited. I can see how that would be a big deal. And I also think that, like, I don't know if anyone else kind of feels like this too, but some of the mistakes I think that I know I've made in, like, talking about the product, I've made to some of the first people that I thought of that would benefit from this product, right? So, you know, when I even thought that, I was like, who do those four people be? That'd be this person, like one of those four people said, okay. And other people like, no. And I think because I presented it incorrectly, like, how do I go back and how can I go back and like approach those people again in a different way and say, hey, like, you know I offered to you in the beginning, but I've been doing it now for like, you know, 5-6 weeks and I love it. Like, I've tried that and some people, and they're still like, yeah, you know, I'm not interested.
All right, Jim, you brought up such great points, and let me back up, and I hope I remember everything that you said because there was a lot there, and I didn't want to interrupt your train of thought.
Thanks.
You're blown away when people who know you and trust you are not listening to you, and they're creating this not only apprehension but complete resistance, saying things that you know are absurd, like, where are the studies, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I said earlier that your commitment is going to determine how far you go. Your commitment, not the commitment of your clients, yours.
Yep.
So this is a shift. This is what I mean about a change in your behavior. And I'm not only talking to you, I'd say this to anybody, myself included, is when somebody blows you away by their response or reaction, there are two ways you can go. One is you paint them as an asshole. Or at least their behavior, right? You go, oh, this person's really behaving stupidly. That's one thing.
Yeah, fearful, whatever.
Yeah. And that doesn't make you better at what you're doing. Now, it's good for your ego because you go, hey, I'm right. I have the thing. They're not listening. Oh, well. The other thing that's harder to do, it's much harder to do, is, and you're doing it now because you're going, how can I go back to those people? Is to hold up the mirror and go, how could I get through that barrier? How could I get that blockage out of the way and get them to try it? And this is what I mean about getting better over time. And this is why I said nobody's born to be a network marketer. Nobody just starts to do this. You know, we may have that belief that, oh, yeah, we're going to just roll with it. It never happens. You know, I think Jenny will attest to this. Everyone hits that wall. Everybody, like, they start, they get their VIP, and then they go, shit, now who do I talk to? And everybody faces that with people go, no, and they go, why? You should say yes. So that is a kick to you to say, I need to get better at presenting this. The people who trust me are saying no. It means there's something I need to do differently. So I think you're there because you're saying, how do we go back to those people? So I applaud that. You didn't go, oh, nobody's interested. This is just crazy. But you also have to know, you said it's fear. Their responses in most cases are irrational. None of them are experts in nutritional supplementation. None of them are formulators of products. And I would guess the great majority of them have never looked at a research study.
Agree on all three of those.
So what they're really saying is no for no good reason. That's what they're saying. So when you, if you could look at this as a game, as a sort of a chess game, as a strategy, it doesn't mean that every time you're going to come out with something that makes them say yes immediately, but how can you? So this is a little bit of the early naivety that we all have. We love the product. We tell people we love the product, and they should go, okay, I'll try it too. And then when they don't, we tend to go a different direction. We tend to go to a place of explanation. We go, well, let me tell you what it has. Let me tell you what it does. Let me tell you what all the ingredients are. And then that doesn't work, and then we become discouraged. So the influence really has to come from somewhere else. And I think it has to come from a place of standing in your authority. And here's the truth that I know, that I think you will soon know. They cannot gauge it at all until they try it. That's the truth. So they could look at every internet article. They could do a Google search. They could find all the trash talking about it. They could read the labels. They could look up every ingredient. They could go to Dr. Axe and Dr. McCullough. They could do all of that. And they still won't have a clue unless they try it. So I think as we become more experienced in this, we become bolder. And in those cases, we can go, research? What are you talking about, research? Nobody does real research on a commercial product formulation. You know, the research in the laboratories that goes on over years is about a particular compound. When did you ever read a research? I'm not saying this is what you should say, but this is the reality. So listen, client, you're suffering with your energy. You're needing your coffee at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. You're complaining that you can't get rid of fat. I am telling you this is something you should try. Give it a try, okay? And Jim, again, I'm not saying they will always say yes. I'm just saying that's the change, is when you hear what they say and you don't take it like the person's being an idiot, I'm going to shut down and stop. It's like an invitation to approach it differently. Does that resonate with you at all, or are you going, no, Phil, you don't understand. These people are just assholes.
No, I completely agree. In fact, with the one lady, I even did do that. I kind of questioned, like, what studies are you talking about? I'm like, there's plenty of studies on Garcinia, and there's plenty of studies on caffeine and the positive effects of this, and there's plenty of studies on, you know, CoQ10, and I'm like, it's the blend of all of it that makes it work, and I can only tell you from my own experience, and 5 weeks in, and I like it. And she's like, all right, well, I just don't want to do it. Like,
okay, and by the way, they're entitled to not want to do it. So honestly, they're entitled. So now we get to part two, is how do you come back to these people?
Yeah.
And I think you do it honestly, whatever that honesty is. So in one case, it might be, you know I spoke to you 4 or 6 weeks ago. I was brand new to this product. The truth is, I didn't present it well. I didn't, because I was just going on fumes. I was so excited. I was just going on my own enthusiasm. But now that I have experience and I have clients on it, I really believe you need to try this. And I think if you come back and say that, you know, then they could ask whatever questions, but you could approach it better. So I think it's okay to come back and go, when I first spoke to you, I wasn't really ready. You know, I should have waited to speak to you because I wasn't ready. I was just so excited. But now I think you need to try this.
Okay.
What do you think about that approach?
Can I chime in real fast? That was exactly what I was going to say too, just from experience, Jim. I have found people just really love authenticity and just even admitting fault, if that's what the term you want to use. I mean, sometimes it's not always that we're at fault, but I have found people are really, really receptive to, yeah, just being very honest and authentic and saying, gosh, you know, I didn't say that so well. I was brand new, you know, just exactly what Phil said. And I feel like it kind of pulls on their heartstrings a bit, and they become less defensive, and they become more open-minded at that point. So
cool.
That was exactly what I was going to say. I think that's a great idea.
Good. And Jim, the one more thing that you said that I want to address is, you know, I've done a lot of talks for personal trainers and covered a lot of topics, you know, again and again and again and again. And sometimes I just open it up to a forum because I know the answers they're going to give, because it's sort of common trainer think. And they'll all say that they would be really great if they only had motivated clients. And they agree, you know, they go around the room. Yeah, I wish my clients were more motivated. Yeah. Yeah, I wish people would come really motivated. Like, well, all right, let's rethink your role in this world. Because if motivated clients were just lined up somewhere and you could just go there and go, I'll take this one and that one and this one, yeah, this would be a really easy way to make a living. But I think a part of what we have to learn is how do we take that person who's not clear, who has different behaviors, who doesn't yet have the mindset, and turn them into a motivated client. So I would have to say the same thing is true with promoters. Is, yeah, it would really be great if, you know, Jenny got lucky, this guy Phil Kaplan called her out of the blue, and suddenly she had this motivated promoter. But Jenny, does that happen to you every day?
No, that's the only time that's ever happened to me.
So they don't motivated promoters don't fall from trees.
No. And, you know, something I'm learning, you know, obviously I'm still a student every single day too, guys. And so the deeper I get into the business and the more promoters I have that come into my business, and I'm not talking level one promoters. I'm talking level two, level three, level four, you know, so on and so forth. But I know I've said this before, and I just want to say it again for those of you who have not taken the time to do it, but that book called The Big Leap by Gay Hendricks, I encourage you all, it's on Audible or get the book. It touches on everything Phil was talking about at the beginning of this call, and it's so good to identify what's preventing you from your breakthrough, getting to your breakthrough. So I highly recommend that. But with all of these promoters that are in my business, there's been one common thing I've seen when they do get stuck, and it's kind of the same thing like what Phil was talking about with our clients, right? Why do people come to us? It's because they don't have the self-accountability to do for themselves what we help them do, correct? So for whatever reason, they have to come pay us to help them do those things. It's a self-accountability issue, and so the deeper I get into this business, the more I'm realizing that people who really, really are committed and really want to do this and see the vision for their life and for other people's lives, they don't always know, but I'm finding that it's very helpful to have some kind of accountability going on, an accountability factor. And I was kind of talking to Phil about, you know, presenting that to you guys. When I went to the retreat with Elise, she kicked my ass.
Hey, Jenny, can we do something? Yeah. I just want to finish up with Jim, and then I'm going to just be quiet, and you could take it from there about accountability, because I know we're going to cover that. Okay.
Yes.
So, Jim, I just want to wrap up by – Tony, you're here, correct?
I'm here.
Okay. So I just want to take a little trip back in time, and I tried the product. I will tell you this. My effect was not as profound as some of you guys, but I loved the science. I loved the formulation. I felt good. I don't like caffeine products, and I didn't feel overly jittery. My workouts were definitely better. I noticed I was sweating more, which means something's getting in, and there is a thermogenic effect. So my next step after that was to introduce it to some of you guys. So I introduced it on one of the Be Better calls, and most of the people in the group went ahead and enrolled, and that's when I started getting the feedback from Tony and from Velma and from Nathan. And then everybody signed up, and they needed to hit their VIPs. And Tony and I were having a conversation, and he goes, I'm not sure who to reach out to. And I said, why don't you reach out to Jim Beatty? Tony, you remember that?
Sure do.
Yeah. So if I remember this correctly, and I might be a little foggy, Tony called Jim and said, hey, Jim, this is a great product. And Jim said, hey, okay, sign me up. Right? Is that what happened, Tony?
In the Steven Spielberg version.
What happened in your recollection?
He had some reservations.
Yeah. And then he signed up like 4 days later?
That's the M. Night Shyamalan version.
And then I think I called Jim, and he's still waiting. At that point, Tony had put samples in the mail, and then we had enough conversations that Jim said, oh, okay, I'm going to try this thing. So I'm just saying, Jim, not everybody makes the decision out of the gate. Sometimes they have barriers up. So if you can just kind of think back to that, you know, your greatest promoters might come with that little bit of a wall that needs to be taken down. Does that help at all?
Sure. Yep.
Right? Well, because if you take somebody going, I don't know, I'm really, you know what, I tried isogenics, I'm not really happy with that, it's really, I don't think I want to do this stuff. If they say that to you and you take it as they're not interested, you might be missing out on the great promoter. So I'm just saying they don't show up as motivated promoters, they become that.
Yeah.
So the trick is get them to understand your commitment, get them to acknowledge that they'd really like to make more money, get them to understand that they could make $400, $800, $1,200 in the first week. And that's where it comes from, you know, and then they're willing to go, yeah, okay, I'm willing to try this. And that's when the motivation starts. Like, that's the reason for these calls, is if everybody was just motivated, honestly, we wouldn't need to do these. They'd just all be out crushing it. So, you know, the hunt for the motivated promoter is really the hunt for the raw material. You know, you've got to find the person and, in some cases, get them over the hump. And by the way, I said early on, my commitment, Jim, my commitment is, and I know the first step is you got to get them willing to talk to me, but I will talk to anyone at any time that has any interest in being a promoter with you. So just, you know that I'm here to help you with that.
Thanks. Hey, yeah. I should have one more observation if I can.
Yeah.
This is kind of for people that haven't gotten their four customers and four promoters for their VIP bonuses yet. But if I look back at the people who I signed up initially, the first like eight, I signed some people up who I thought might become promoters eventually. I signed them up as promoters. I think I would have been better off signing them up just as customers. And some of those initial people signed them up as promoters, knowing full well that they weren't going to do it. Because now the people that I thought might have been become promoters, they might actually start talking about it, and that could incentivize them with their VIP bonus. But those people's bonuses have long passed.
Well, you know what, though? There's another incentive once they pass the VIP, because I want you to just think about volume. Like when you're in your first 14 days, you don't even know what 4K or 12K represents, right? Because you're just focused on getting your 4 and 4, your 2 and 2. And then you kind of become a little more mature in this field, and you start to look and you go, okay, now I have to hit my 4K, right? And sometimes 4K is elusive for a little while. Other times you hit it quickly. But the explanation that they need to receive is even if they miss their VIP, if they now get two promoters to hit their VIP, that's their volume growing, and their pie chart goes up and up and up and up and up. In other words, the VIP is just an incentive because you don't yet know how to make money. Do you know what I'm saying? It's just like it's real simple. If you just do this simple thing, you'll get $400. But the bigger opportunity is really in getting two promoters to hit their VIP, because that becomes your volume. So the number is actually sweeter. You're building a much bigger pie. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I get that.
So rather than reflecting on that they didn't hit the VIP, help them understand that as a promoter, I'll help you get two people and we'll get them to hit their VIP. And every time that their volume goes up, which it will, that's your volume. And then, by the way, that's the beauty of this when it works. That funnels its way down. Like now we help those people hit their VIP. That's when you see your number going up and up and up and up and up, in essence, by itself. So understand the VIP is just an early incentive, but even if you missed it, it's not the big picture. All right, Jim, I really appreciate your commitment, and I also appreciate you sharing those thoughts. Really, really insightful. So thank you for that.
Thanks.
Anybody else before Jenny talks about accountability? Just did that prompt anything that anybody else wants to ask or share?
2 points.
Okay.
Number one, why it was easy for me to stay with the conversation with Jim was because I honestly believed that it was going to be something that was going to be good for him. And I think that was a different mindset. So it turned into, you know, because I was actually a little bit more, I don't want to use the word pushy, but like probably a little bit more aggressive than I normally would have been. But I kept saying to myself, like, even when we had our conversations, I'm like thinking, this is something that's really, really good. I mean, this guy is going to do really well here. So that was a different mindset that kind of helped me to go over the hump of being a little uncomfortable with reaching out as often as I did, you know?
Right.
And the other thing was, Jenny, you mentioned that it was a book you said about Breakthrough that you recommended.
Yeah, it's called The Big Leap. It's It's by Gary Hendrix.
The Big what? The Big Leap?
L-E-A-P.
The Big Leap. Uh-huh.
Okay.
I got it on Audible. It's a really simple listen. It's really good.
Yeah, very good.
That's all I got.
Okay. Anyone else? Jenny, the accountability floor. Go ahead. Who's that?
Jason, I was echoing Jim's thoughts, too, about the getting some feedback from some clients of mine as far as their interpretation of my presentation of what this is was different, obviously, than what I'm, in my mind my approach was. So it's worth going back and having more conversations and being truly honest about it in the sense that it's not
a... Share some specifics, if you don't mind. So you perceived that your clients perceived things a certain way, and then you found out it was different than you thought, right? Is that what you're saying?
I have one client that I've always had a good relationship with, and she says basically that she doesn't like or doesn't trust products that use Facebook testimonials, or it's one of those MLM things where you have to buy into it. It's just very salesy to me. Like, she's using those terminology, those words to me. I'm like, crap, did I present it like that? Because that's not what this is at all. And that's why I came back with her. I go, my apologies if that's like how I presented it. I go, that's not what this is at all. Like, not even close. So it was good to hear that from her as far as, because I'm super excited about it and I know how I get with it. And sometimes I skip over some details or some of the reasons, and maybe my genuineness gets lost in my excitement to people, and hence that's why their reaction immediately is a no versus an intrigue. So if I just get them intrigued, that's the win. So it's taught me even the last week about, and maybe dialing back a little bit, but coming across or being a little bit more honest in my reason for wanting them to try this, like I did from the beginning when I didn't know anything. You know, it was easy because it's easy for me to come across more honest in the beginning because I didn't know anything. So there was no sales pitch. This, there's no pressure to do anything because it was just an honest, hey, try this. And I need to be able to maintain that mindset, that place in my language going forward.
Good. Thank you. Yeah, that's great. You know, I also think that we've all run into that when people go, is this an MLM? You know, and there is that apprehension. And listen, it's legitimate. I'm going to tell you why. Because multi-level marketing has the potential to create false prophets, meaning somebody comes out with a product and they go, this is magic. It's antioxidants. It's a super juice. It's everything. And then people sign up with the intention of making money. And then they simply say what they're told without any validation or verification. So, yeah, there are many products sold through multi-level marketing that are inferior. So I do think we have to swat that out of the way, but I do think it's easy to swat because once we talk about the product and our use of the product and the virtue of the product, it doesn't really matter how it's sold. You're not riding on this bandwagon purely to make money at expense of people. You're loving this product, and I think that's where the conversation needs to go. So, yeah, very good. Thank you for sharing that. Okay, Jenny, go.
Hey, guys.
You're
going to
talk about accountability.
Yes, I did. Forgive any background noise. We are driving in the car almost home, so if you hear anything weird, I'm sorry about that. I wanted to just, talk about accountability, guys, and I don't want to put anybody on the spot today, but if you all will kind of just mull on this, and we can discuss it a little bit more. But what I was saying was when I went to that retreat with Elise, it was very eye-opening as far as my own self-accountability. So in chatting to her, you know, in explaining maybe my frustrations with my business and, you know, my goals and my lack of reaching them thus far and all of these things. And, you know, she was so blunt with me. She said, you know, well, how many personal promoters do you have? And I told her, and it's under 50, just so you all know that. And she said, well, I don't understand why you don't have 100 promoters. And I kind of looked at her like it never even occurred to me that I should try to find that many promoters, you know. And, you know, but her point was just that, you know, what are your limiting beliefs, honey? Why, what's the wall? Why, you know, why aren't you hitting your VIPs still every week? Why aren't you focusing on that duplication? Like, where are you at? What's holding you back? Don't blame it on, you know, the promoters that you have that aren't producing, or don't blame it on the customers who are quitting or complaining. You know, her whole purpose was to tell me, you know, focus on the good promoters you have and help them, no matter how deep you have to go, because volume is volume. So that was one learning lesson for me. Another one was focus on those customers that love the product. You've got to help them get it for free. And so we've chatted about that before. But she asked me, she looked at me and she said, do you want some accountability or don't you? And she said, and be careful how you answer me, because if you say yes, I'm going to ask some things of you and it might make you uncomfortable and it might not be something you even like to do. But I promise it will help you. And so I said, well, can I think about it, let you know tomorrow? And she kind of laughed. And I said, no, if you think that will help me, yes, I want that. And so, you know, now I have this, you know, and it's kind of, you know, like I was saying, you know, we are all successful people in our businesses. We all we have this ego thing. Everybody does, right? Like, I can do it myself, and I don't need help, and I don't need accountability. But if you look at what's happening and where you are with your goals, if you're not there, clearly maybe we need to be open-minded to doing something different. And so that was my aha moment. Yeah, I need to be open to learning something new and doing something different. And if it takes doing something uncomfortable and being accountable to somebody, even though I don't want to be, but if it takes that sacrifice and that learning curve in order for me to get to where I'm going, then I'm going to be willing and open to do that. And so essentially what she asked me to do was every single day to send her a screenshot of my, you know, my journal, who I was going to be reaching out to, what the outcomes were. And, you know, she told me, she said, the day that I don't get this from you, I mean, she's very blunt. Like, she didn't say I'm not going to work with you, but kind of, sort of. Like, you know, she wants to work with the people who really, really want the accountability and want the help. And so, you know, I kind of want to know from our team, and implementing it with my other promoters too, like, who wants that same accountability? It's uncomfortable. It's not always fun. I don't always like it. And sometimes I'm like, oh, you know, I don't really like what she has to say back to me. Or if I try to, you know, make an excuse or say, you know, she'll call me out on it. And so it's been helpful for me in learning and growing. And then I think it's also something that can give us tools to help our team. Because, again, you have to remember, as your team grows, you're going to become that person for those people. And so I think it's important that we have some type of accountability with one another. And it's not because we're each other's boss or, you know, anything like that. It's just helping each other grow and get better. So I really want everybody to think about that, really dig deep and think, you know, okay, do I want an accountability factor here? Because if you guys do, we're going to implement something, and I believe you'll be very successful with it if you'll commit to it and you'll do it. So I just wanted to talk about that and ask you guys to think about that and think, it, you know, if you'll be open to doing that with us or not. So that's all, Phil.
Good. I'll tell you what will prevent people from saying yes to that, Jenny. Fear. That's the only thing. Fear.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, you squirm a little bit, but this is the reason that your clients are accountable to you. I mean, don't you think they hate when you go, so what'd you have for dinner last night? And they know that they don't want to tell you. But it's a part of it. You're making them accountable. And what I want to say here is Jenny is extremely blessed because she has somebody, Elise, who's willing to make her accountable. So as uncomfortable as it is, this is a part of growth, and this is a part of stretching. And if you want to learn to make $1 million, then who do you learn from? Somebody who made $1 million in a year doing what you do. So, you know, I understand the you get a little kind of knot in your throat, and you go, no, I don't want to be accountable. But that's what I mean by commitment. You know, why wouldn't you if you're really committed to being great at this? So, yeah, you're going to struggle a little bit, and you're going to go, oh, man, I hate to make the call. Hey, Jason Barron, we talked about this, but, you know, I see you creating customers just about every day now, and I don't know how much the conversations we have contribute to that, but I would guess at least a little, and I think 100%. Through our conversations, we came up with some really good, you know, strategies, like the, you know, referral form from Amy and just the way you're going to say things to people. So I know, and you could verify this, that sometimes it's like, oh, shit, I got to talk to Phil right now. But also, I'm going to guess, and I don't know this to be true, that you appreciate that I'm willing to do that for you, you know, because I want you to succeed.
Yeah,
so
No, it's helpful. It's helpful because, like I said, I'm committed to this thing, but recognizing what even Denny says, there's some stuff in me that needs to change in the sense of where my aspirations are to go as far as an income, as far as a professional level. Not only that, I went to Cedar Point this weekend. It's a big amusement park. I had a lot of time to stand in line and think. And one of the things that came to me was not only is Thrive for me personally, you know, helping me with my health, it's becoming, you know, my number one go-to for other people I meet, but also it's a platform that I want to leverage to really get to a place income-wise, earning-wise, that I've never reached before. And it's funny how that this something simple like this can do that. So for me, having just that positive pressure daily to just do one customer, I hear Phil's voice in my head every day, who's going to go, who's the one customer, and just to have that call. And that accountability has definitely helped as far as just pulling me out of my rut. And like you said, the habits that I get into. So I got to change the habits. And for me, making a call to you daily, which I'm getting better at, is helping me break those habits just to see things differently, which has been tremendous.
Good. And, I'm fully committed to seeing you succeed. And, Tony, I'm going to say the same thing to you. I was glad when you were in Florida, we were able to have dinner the other night. But I think the fact that you opened up to role-playing the calls probably over time will make a huge difference. Do you?
Yeah. Obviously. I mean, I hit the wall, and I hit the wall hard. But it hasn't changed my commitment to my outcomes. If anything, at this stage of the game, I mean, going away and actually having a conversation, eating those scallops too is a really good thing. But they say the definition of insanity is doing the same thing, expecting a different result. And, you know, what I was doing initially was really, really working well, and then it stopped. But just like, I guess in that book, Who Stole My Cheese? I kept going back to the same spot looking, you know, for the cheese to be
right.
There. I'm like, it's not there anymore. So, you know, now it's time to really, like, you know, pony up and do things differently. And so I'm committed to that.
So talk briefly about the couple of role-playing calls we did and how, if it is helping you, you think it's helping you.
Well, you know, I got an opportunity to use it. I wish I had been a little bit more articulate, because what was interesting was that when I was on the cruise, I got, you know, 4 inquiries, and it was mostly people who were looking at my wife and looking at the patch and saying, what is that? And then, you know, it got into, you know, product speak, which was, I realized how clumsy and inarticulate I was about it as compared to what we got out of, what I got out of role-playing, and when I would approach it entirely differently.
So all of us are going to go through this where we, you know, we come out of the gate with just passion. And, you know, Jason said, hey, it was easy because I didn't know anything there. And Tony was like, hey, I was just on fire and it was easy because I felt great and I was telling people and they were hearing me. But then you get to the next level, and the next level takes a little bit of development. So as you guys are growing, here's a beautiful thing. I'm growing just a little bit ahead of you, and Jenny's growing just a little bit ahead of me, and Elise is growing a little bit ahead of her. And I really think when you come to appreciate a good, strong network marketing company, you realize how important accountability is and how accessible it is if you have a good upline. And I have to believe everybody here has a great upline. So for those who are on the call, I appreciate you being here. Let's keep it going. Remember, commitment is going to be the key to those who succeed. And those who are not on the call today, I'm sure there was a very good reason. You don't have to text me or call me with it. But I hope you understand my point, that a very simple commitment of just growing, even if it's just for 3 hours a week, and contributing, even if it's just for 3 hours a week, is just going to make you better and better and better. Jenny, anything you want to say in closing? I appreciate you joining us from the car as you're heading back home.
Yeah, absolutely. There's one more thing I was going to ask you guys. There's an app you can put on your phone. It's called Think Up, THINKUP. I want to encourage you guys all to do that. You can actually set positive affirmations all day that pop up on your phone. And at first, I understand that sounds kind of silly. But this whole, you know, limiting belief and fear and ego issue that every one of us has, all of us, including myself, if we start that reprogramming process, you guys, it will really help you. So it's called Think Up. You can just literally put in affirmations all day, every day that will pop up on your phone. Just say them out loud over and over, like, I'm not afraid, I'm bold, you know, whatever it is you want to be, you know, work on to improve, you know, anything in your life, really. But I wanted to just share that with you guys, too.
Awesome. All right, Jenny, have a good rest of the drive home. Everybody, I appreciate you being here today. Until we speak again, be better, everybody. Bye-bye.